In Jesus' name, amen. Today's text enjoys a special and strategic location in the life of the seminary. It is the charge that presidents have historically delivered to graduating seniors just after they have received their calls. And it is a remarkable text. It invites to and displays a calling that is utterly and totally defined by and dependent upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Without the narrative of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, any meaning evaporates from this text. But with Christ, it becomes the invitation and description of a calling unlike any other, distinctive, unique, and God-given. Indeed, here Peter describes the enfleshed life of one who is in Christ and called to be a shepherd. The seminary is here to prepare you for such a life that displays the narrative of one who is in Christ, not an abstract narrative, but one lived out concretely, one that can be heard and seen. How the world needs such shepherds, how the world needs such lives. If you look around a bit and you linger and look at men and women in our day, looking beyond the surface to their center, to their souls, what you'll discover is a great deal of pain and anguish. They're being strangled by narratives that are false, woven by the father of lies. The narrative, for example, of consumption and the lie that acquiring more and more will bring satisfaction and even salvation. Or the narrative of nonstop entertainment augmented by technological connectivity. Or the narrative of pride and power that encourages self-absorption and permits the powerful to take the lives of the weak, namely the unborn. And all these narratives that reduce human beings are powered by the view that we are but momentary consciousness in an endless, aimless, cold, dark universe, soon to return there. Peter warns us that such devouring narratives will be out there, as he says, the devil will be searching whom he can devour. He is the one who seeks to reduce human beings. And in sharp contrast, Peter in this narrative knows and confesses the truthful narrative, the beautiful narrative. It is the narrative of God's love for a fallen and rebellious humanity. It is the narrative of the God who first gave himself in his image, and when refused, still sought a fallen creation all the way to Bethlehem, where he gave his very son, that we might be restored to him. Listen to how Peter begins this epistle. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, soil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. That is incredible good news, something that never perishes, soils, or fades. And it is lived out among the people of God. This office to which you aspire of shepherd has its rewards that cannot be purchased. Over Reformation, I returned to a parish in rural Iowa, not a glamorous parish, but wonderful Lutheran confession goes on there. And after 33 years, people would come up and say, "You baptized me. You married us. You buried my father." And they look at you with such affection. And they'll also say, "What happened to your hair? Where did the curls go? Where did the color go?" But what is humbling is the way in which that word remains without any tarnish. It doesn't perish. It doesn't soil. It doesn't fade. These people who have heard the voice of the Good Shepherd look to their shepherd and look to their baptism. They look to the apostles and prophets, and they feast on the Eucharist with great joy. This is the narrative that we've been called upon to display. It's the narrative of love and compassion that reaches to the very bosom of the Father. It's the narrative that displays the reality of life that only Jesus can give. And it's a narrative that challenges those false narratives of the devil with power. And by God's grace and through the Holy Spirit's working, it's our great privilege to repeat that story, to tell the story of Jesus, and to be his people in an epoch that is dying, as has every human age. But the epoch of the church in Christ goes on with life and vigor and clarity and charity. In fact, the real action, if you will, isn't at Wall Street or Washington or Hollywood. It's with God's holy church, the people of God, as they sing his praises. What a glorious text this is. What a wonderful calling is ours. As Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."